Revelation chapter 12, it's headed the woman and the dragon. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon, and under her feet, and a crown with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and is an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour the child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And the child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth, of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged by the woman, enraged at the woman, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. So far.
Our text verses 6 and 13. 6 and 13. And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Then also verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he had pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And our topic this evening is the church in the desert. The church in the desert. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, just before I went to a holiday, I preached about the two witnesses that were killed in Revelation 11. And Revelation 11 wanted to teach about the time just before Jesus comes again. That time the two witnesses will not preach anymore. They will be killed by the world and the ruler of the world. This is Satan for a short time, 3.5 days. And their testimony will be finished and their bodies will lie in the great cities which are called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. And in that passage, our Lord Jesus Christ warned his church to stay true to his word and spirit. Also, we were warned that there will be a time when the world will not listen to the word anymore. Will aid the true church, faithful to the word and spirit. And it will appear for just a short time if the church is killed, before the Lord will raise his church again, that we shouldn't be afraid, because that will be before our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And to give us more clarity in this matter, John explained that a bit more in Revelation 12. In Revelation chapter 12, there are three main characters in this chapter: a woman, a child, and a dragon. The woman is an image of the church in this world. The child is an image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the dragon is an image of Satan and his whole agenda from the beginning up to the end. What he wants to do. Satan wants to destroy and make war against the child, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the woman, the church. And so Revelation 12 emphasizes Satan's war and agenda from the beginning of time, where he wanted to destroy Jesus and his church. There are two main points in the first one: Satan's war against the child. Revelation 12 is the history of God's church, as I've said. And in the first 5 verses, we read about Satan's objective to make sure that the Messiah would not be born. Satan was ready to devour the child even before he was born. And that's the whole history of the Old Testament. Cain, who killed Abel just after paradise. The Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children in the time of Moses. Saul, who persecuted David. Nebuchadnezzar, we have the Old Testament. We can see Satan behind the lines, who did everything in his power to make sure that a child, our Lord Jesus Christ, was not born. He was there with Job, with Joshua, when he brought accusations before the Lord against them. But Satan failed. The Messiah was born, and the angels rejoiced. Still, Satan continued with a genocide, and as with Moses, towards all the male children through his instrument, King Herod. That history in Matthew 2, verse 16 to 18. King Herod the Great has ordered that all the male children in Bethlehem and all in that region should be killed. Early he asked the wise men to tell them where the new King Jesus, the Messiah, was born, so that he also could come and worship him. But in a dream, they were warned not to come to Herod again. King Herod was furious. In his wrath, he turned to the babies. This was Satan's doing, his old method, where he opposed himself to God. And so did Herod, his instrument. So did so many in the future, attacking God's children. So does everyone who kills God's representative. Rebel against God. Herod's soldiers knew the routine, and they closed off the streets, they isolated Bethlehem, they forced the parents to give up their children and be ought to be killed themselves. And with efficiency, they ran their swords through the little bodies. In no time, everything was over. Their grim task was executed, and except for the mother's tears and grief, everything was normal again, where you could only hear the raw weeping of the mothers. Terrible time in history. But we also read about the Lord's grace and Satan's defeat. Matthew 2, verse 13 to 15. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And so Revelation 12 verse 6 described these events, where Satan wanted to destroy Jesus. But all God's prophecies came in fulfillment. Jesus was born, died on the cross for our sins, is risen, ascended into heaven, Revelation 12, verse 5, but a child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus sat on the cross, it was fulfilled. And Satan lost. Satan failed. He was thrown out of heaven by Michael and his angels. Verse 8 we read, there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Satan lost his place as accuser before the throne of God, as he accused Job, Joshua, so many honor. And John heard a great voice who called out, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them." Satan was defeated. And we can also rejoice as conquerors in the Lord already, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul wrote a victory song in Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, "Known all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And our situation now means that not your death, not your life, not the devil, world events can take your peace away. This is our situation today. It means that even though things may look bleak from a worldly perspective, a humanly perspective, from God's throne, everything makes sense. He's under control. In heaven, they are rejoicing. That's the situation. There's peace and worship to the Lamb. But it's also true that with this worship song, there was a warning for the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 12, we read, "But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short." That's the second point of the sermon. The church in the desert, Satan's last attack. And so verses 13 to 17 marks the last event in history, where Satan was thrown out of heaven, where he lost against the child, and where he was now focusing all his energy to the woman. When he lost his war against Christ, he wanted to destroy the church. And he's waging war against the church, and he's furious, angry. The Apostle Peter describes in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, that he is your adversary and he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And Satan wants to destroy the church. This is his mission for the last 2,000 years. This is also a paradox. The church who has received the victory in Christ already has to be the one who flee, the one who lost his, against the one who lost his standing in heaven, Satan. And the church is already in victory clothes. We read in verse 1 that she's clothed with the sun, with the moon on her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. But the paradox is that a church that belongs to Jesus, bought with his blood, has to flee from the devil. That she has no place in this world. She's not safe here, anywhere, except in the desert. But our God also provides. Gives her wings of a great eagle. And she's nourished by God for a time and times and half a time. It can sound very difficult and confusing. But we need to realize that the book of Revelation speaks through images. The desert is an image of this world where we're living. We still live in this world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We learn this from 1 Peter. And we long to be clothed to the heavenly riches, to 2 Corinthians 5. Sometimes it feels if the persecution and hardship never ends. It feels if it can go on forever, no longer than 2,000 years. And we are already in 2022. And we learn through this chapter that the church will be in the desert a time and times and half a time. Verse 14. And that the Lord only knows when Jesus will return. But it will be suddenly, half a time. And so the Apostle Peter explained in 2 Peter 3 verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. And when Jesus does return, he will come at a time that will surprise many as a thief in the night. And so the desert describes the church's existence in this sinful world, a place of isolation and loneliness. And Apostle Peter says that you're feeling like an alien in this world. And through Peter, the Lord said to his church, yes, you are aliens in this world. Yes, you are persecuted. Yes, there are terrible things that are happening in this world. And the church is attacked from the first church. And Satan is bloodthirsty. His anger is now directed towards the children again through abortion, the elderly and sick through euthanasia. And he wages war, he persecutes, and he's getting desperate. How closer he comes to his end. But however, hold on to your faith. We are strangers in this world, but we're not from this world. And still the Lord was equipping his church. He provided him with eagle wings of faith and prayer, so that we can flee to him daily when we are in hardship. And so the eagle is an image of strength. But the Lord said in Exodus 19 verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Oh, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And the Lord promised in Deuteronomy 32 verse 11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them in its pinions. And this is what God is doing to his people. How he continues to protect them in the wilderness. You can also read Psalm 91. And so this church is an image in the desert. It's an image of the church that holds on to the word of God and his confessions. The Satan never has a problem with a church that lives in the world and looks like the world and accommodate the influences of this world. But a church that wants to live true to God's word will sometimes feel alienated, like they live in the desert. They're not part of this world. They will feel Satan's anger. They will be ridiculed, ostracized, and persecuted. They will even be getting smaller. Like we're reading in our confession, Belgic Confession, Article 27. But then we read that Satan has a plan for the church in the desert as well. We read in Revelation 12, verse 15, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. If the church does not want to become like the world, he reckons the world should come to the church. And he's doing this through temptations, world ideologies and movements, feelings, communism, socialism. Pastor Peter Gatsby preached about them last week, the culture of feelings. The world culture is, if I feel this is right, it should be. Satan's old tactic in paradise. And we are under attack as well as the Reformed churches all over the world. The church that wants on, all to hold on to the Word of God. And so the Word and confessions are under attack. And we need to be careful not to give in to the streams of worldly feelings. What are some of these ideologies? The Word of God is not written for all times, they would say. The book of Jonah is a fable. Jesus is not risen. Evolution is right. Should be integrated with the Word of God. And Christians who believe in a young church is ignorant. And mix this with feminism, gender confusion, and you can see Satan's tactics clearly in our time as well. The attack is from the devil against the woman, God's church. And he wants to destroy us with all these dreams and ideologies. Still, we see how the Lord protects. Verse 16. But Earth came to the help of the woman, and Earth opened its mouth and swallowed a river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Some commentators explain that God stepped in by using world events, that it came down to the inhabitants of those who don't belong to the Lord. That the Lord used earthquake and floods, world epidemics like this coronavirus. All these things are calling people to repent. That the judgment of the Lord is coming closer. But also a message to Satan that the Lord is in control, that we don't have to fear. And so, it's only me if there's a bit of an echo. Revelation 12 comforts God's church. If we stay close to Christ and his rest, Satan cannot do you any harm. Christ poured through his Holy Spirit heavenly gifts into his members. He protects, he preserves us in his power against all enemies. And with these heavenly gifts, he protects, he comforts, he builds by the pure proclamation of the gospel. He strengthens us in faith by the ministry of the sacraments. He brings us close to his loving care whenever we fall in sin. And he protects us, and he will protect us from the beginning until the end of time. And through his Spirit, we receive eagle wings of faith and prayer to stand firm. He strengthens us so that we can offer strong resistance against the spiritual battle, against the devil. And we will not perish. Christ will keep his church until he comes again. He keeps us through his Word and Spirit, strengthens us through the preaching of his Word, and through his Holy Spirit, encourage us, strengthen us in the difficult times when the streams of temptation comes against his church, to stand firm, like Peter said in 1 Peter 5, the Word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, do not fear Satan. He lost already. Do not fear persecutions. And hatred. The hatred of Satan against our children, against our marriages, our lives, even when Satan's attack on the church will become more violent, because it's also a sign that it's close for our Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Right, I pray that our works, our faithfulness, our church will endure in the difficult times, that we will stand firm. And encourage each other to build our lives upon the strong foundation, the only strong foundation that there can be, Luke 6, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord is holding his church in his hand, Revelation 2, verse 1. And nothing can separate us from his love. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, when we hear the history from your perspective, from your word, we know we don't have anything to fear. Not from Satan, not from the world and the streams of this world and the ideologies of this world. But you assured us that we should stand firm in your word, that your word is written for all times, but also that your church is protected by you as well. That our Lord Jesus Christ is holding the church of all times in his hand, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Father, we pray that you will be with your church this coming year, especially with Synod. We pray for the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia. We pray that we will hold on to our confessions, that we will hold on that our Lord Jesus Christ is King of his church. In his name we pray. Amen.